listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
It ain't hard to tell. I excel, then prevail. The mic is contacted. I attract clientele. My mic check is life or death. Breathing a sniper's breath. I exhale the yellow smoke of Buddha through righteous steps. Deep like the shining. Sparkle like a diamond. Sneaker Uzi on the island. In my army jacket lining. Hit the earth like a comet invasion. Nas is like the Afrocentric Asian. Half man, half amazing. Because in my physical, I can't express through some. Delete stress like Motrin. Direct stand strong. I drank Moet with the reducer, give us shotguns in hell from the spliff that I lifted in hell. It ain't hard to tell. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Test podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are
ready to give you guys some live podcasting. If you're on Crowdcast in the chat room, you can see it. If you're not, then you'll hear it later on the podcast places that you go listen to shows, which is like iTunes, Stitcher. Leave us 5-star reviews on those platforms, and if they're nice, we'll read them on the air. If not, we'll just ignore them, pretend that we didn't see it, and move on. Mm-hmm. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's show is brought to you by Loot Crate. That's right, Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest, best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/tbgwt, enter code tbgwt, and you get $3 off of any new subscription. If you're on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate got your back. They're gonna hook you up with an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. You have to sign up by the 19th, so you have 5 days basically from right now. But you have to sign up by the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time or midnight Eastern time, or you lose out on this month's theme, which is Unite 2.0. And I'll talk more in detail about that later in the show. All right, let's get into it. What do we have to talk about?
Before we go on, mm-hmm. I found out yesterday, you remember how I was telling y'all about how we went to the up in the mountains to see the maroon mm-hmm. people? They actually took a picture of us and put it on the front page of their website.
Wow, for the maroon, like for the community?
Yeah, for the community, yeah, because, you know, they have, like, the history and stuff, and, you know, they promote, you know, taking the excursion up there. And so somebody had found out that they had took a picture of us up there dancing with them and put it on the front page of their website. I was like, we must have showed out then.
Well, that's dope. I mean, like you said, they don't normally get those kind of groups up there often, and you were talking about how the people appreciate y'all coming through.
They
and
really, really did. Like I said, y'all, when people started coming out the kitchen, we had no headnets and stuff, and we danced for literally 20-30 minutes straight, like straight drumming, straight beating, straight dancing. You know, they probably hadn't had anybody do that with them maybe ever, or if they have, not in a long time.
Yeah, well, that's, I'm glad they was appreciating y'all and enjoying mm-hmm. you know, and you can see that by the fact they put that on the you know, on the cover of the website.
I know,
y'all famous now.
I know, we doing big things.
As for we have all kinds of news to get to. I did want to give a quick rundown of my week without Karen, because I know she was asking about it yesterday. I didn't do much. I dropped Karen off at the airport, and then I went to this place called Roots Cafe.
Ooh, never heard of that.
Well, we tried to go there before, but they was closed. They got these really funky hours on the weekend where it's like,
okay, them weird hours. Yeah,
yeah, it's in that trendy south side of South Boulevard area.
Okay.
So I went there and I ate. They had this it's weird because it's like a very limited menu. Mm-hmm. Like, this give you like one sheet and it's just like the things they have, and it's like, get this sandwich, get a breakfast burrito, get this. Like, it's not breakfast in the way that you would think,
right?
And what I did was I just put breakfast into my Yelp and was like, give me all the places where I can eat, you know, go get breakfast. And that's what was one of the places.
Cool.
So I had my burrito, it was a breakfast burrito, and then I had a latte. They didn't have pumpkin spice though, so it's a little let down by that, but still tried to find a way to enjoy it. That was you know, that, and I read my book and stuff, and I just came home and chilled, and I watched all the Stranger Things season 2, just binged that. which was good. I really enjoyed it. I thought season one was a little bit better. Okay. But season two, I really loved that they fleshed out Lucas as a character, the black boy.
Okay.
Like, we got to see his family and all this different stuff. I'll probably do a review on that. I'll find somebody that watched it. Then let's see what else I did. Sunday I got to watch all the football I wanted. I didn't even go get anything to eat or anything. Didn't take a nap. Since I didn't do the podcast, I didn't have to get up early.
Right.
So I just watched the whole Sunday worth of football, and I still stand upon what I said. NFL football is terrible as far as just the average quality of a game. But you know, this is the first time I watched it without really taking a nap. So I checked that out, and then you know, without then I watched Walking Dead, you know, and that was my whole Sunday. Then Monday I think I had to go somewhere. In that morning, I forget what all I did, but I remember I got up early and you know, put on my Uggs, put on my pink hat, my pussy hat, as some people refer to it. And I went down to Trader Joe's, the one downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And I just
didn't know they had one downtown.
Yeah, it's over there by that Best Buy. We pass it all the time.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I went in there and I just bought everything with pumpkin spice and pumpkin.
Oh, that was that buggy full of stuff I seen you put online.
Yeah, I got pumpkin spice. I got pumpkin body odor, butter. I got pumpkin soup crackers.
Them crackers was delicious.
Mm-hmm. I used them on the chili that we made. And y'all can laugh if y'all want to, but don't knock it if you ain't tried it.
Did you get them Cracker Jacks? Well, they're not Cracker Jacks.
Yeah, there was this, they had this pumpkin spice like snack mix that got popcorn in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, it's
so good.
Falling off the bone. And then shout out to Justin, he got me this pumpkin spice lip balm chapstick.
Oh shit. Now my nigga.
Yep. See, that's the thing, you gotta look out for each other. As I apply some, but you got to look out for each other, because you know, once people know you into this and you're not hiding it from the world, then people start looking out for you.
Don't be shamed.
All right, I got some pumpkin ice cream at Trader Joe's.
I can't wait to try that.
Mm-hmm. I got all that stuff from Trader Joe's, and then I went to Amelie's, you know, the place that we just started going to.
It's really good,
the French bakery thing. Mm-hmm. And they have breakfast sandwiches and stuff, and it was still the morning time. So I went in there and I got a breakfast sandwich, and I got two pastries that had pumpkin in them. They also had a pumpkin tart, but the pumpkin tart was like $20, and I was like, I ain't swinging like that. But I did try the two little pastries they had.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a they didn't have pumpkin spice latte, they had seasonal latte that had this cinnamon syrup in it, so I got that, which was just, you know, it was very good. Mm-hmm. And I was just reading my book, chilling, and while I was sitting there listening to my pumpkin spice playlist. As you guys know, that listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was sitting there, this woman walked up to me, and she was an employee there.
Mm-hmm.
And she had like a black the shirt on like the chefs have.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And she was like, are you Rod? And I paused my music and was like, can I help you? She was like, are you Rod? And I was like, yes, my name is Rod. And she was like, oh my god, you're like a celebrity here. And I was like, okay, like, I didn't know if they listened to the podcast or right. What, but she was like, we and then she looked, pointed to the kitchen, and I looked, and everybody had stopped working.
And
they saw me look at them, and they just all waved at me. Then I waved back like, hey. And then they was like, she was like, we saw your review on Yelp.
I just like, because you did review them, yeah.
We thought it was the funniest thing we've ever saw.
You leave the best Yelp review. That ought to be a segment, for real. It is hilarious.
she was like, so we went and read all your Yelp reviews, and like, now you're like a celebrity here. You should try our other locations, and we're really glad you stopped in, and all this other stuff. Other
locations.
Yeah, I just was like, cool, you know. I didn't really know exactly what to say, but I was like, thank you very much.
Right. And
I'm glad y'all enjoyed them and had fun writing them. And she was like, well, thank you so much, and please come again. You're welcome here anytime. I was like, thank you so much. And then she left, and I finished eating after a while, and then went home. Then the next day I went out and voted, we needed to vote in our local election.
Mm-hmm. And for mayor, right?
For and mayor,
city,
yeah.
City council and stuff like that, yeah.
Right, so and everybody I voted for won. Like, it was a Democrat sweep here, as much of the nation was going through local elections. A lot of Democrats was picking up seats people didn't think they could win and stuff like that. Charlotte, of course, very liberal, quote unquote, city, so very black city. So Viola Isles won, that was cool, you know.
First African-American woman, first black woman.
Mm-hmm. That's the first black woman mayor of Charlotte. That's, yeah, so crazy.
A black man, one, two,
more than
one, two.
Yeah, more than one,
two,
yeah.
Two twice, and that's been
we had a few. I think even, okay, Gantt back in the day or something like that,
maybe three or four, but yeah. I know it ain't been that many. I don't know if we've ever had, yeah, we've had one white woman.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of them been white men.
Jennifer was a white woman. Mm-hmm. The woman that just lost. Mm-hmm. So I voted. I knew it was gonna win too, because like, I went in and there was some women that were working the polls, polling place. Mm-hmm. Not the actual polls, but working the polling place, and they were like, one of the women was like, when I gave her my address, she was like, "Ooh, that street, y'all, everybody on that street voting." And I was like, "Oh, good. That means we probably about to do sweep." Mm-hmm. And I knew it was a wrap. So, went and voted. Then after that, I had to reward myself. So I went to Starbucks and got my first ever actual pumpkin spice latte.
Because
I never really had one. Mm-mm. From the originators.
Ever had a latte. A latte.
Yeah, so I had one, and it was good, you know. I had it to go, so I didn't like have all the frosting and stuff that was with it, you
right.
know. But
and the thing is, I don't really drink coffee. That's a form of coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't really drink coffee, so for a long time I never ate anything or drunk anything at Starbucks. The only thing I do drink is the frappuccino.
Mm-hmm.
And that's delicious, and it tastes more like ice cream.
So I did that, and then I came back, and because we were having some issues with and it's been happening for like a year or two with our apartment, where we'll give them our renter's insurance, and then they'll like email us a few months later like, where's y'all's renter insurance? We don't got it on file. And I'm like, but I sent you the paperwork for a whole year, like what are we talking about, you know? And like, inevitably a few months will pass, hey, we don't have it on file. So I'm like, now they did get taken over by new management recently, but I got this email or whatever when you were gone that was like, hey, we ain't got it on file, what y'all gonna do about this? And I'm like, I know y'all have it already,
right?
But you know, I was like, I'm gonna take care of this morning. So after I got my voting and my latte on, I showed up and you know, asked to speak to the manager, and my white woman ways.
Mm-hmm.
As a white woman of color, I demanded, and then she gave me like this fax thing with the email or whatever. And so I called on the phone with our insurance provider and was like, hey, send this shit right away, you know, fax it over, whatever. And so he said he did. And then after that, I waited a couple hours, and I had to go pick up a package, and I went in there, and I was like, hey, I want to see the actual paper this time.
Right. Don't be bullshitting.
Last time, you know, it's been three times.
Right. And it's very inconvenient to have to call them to go through that shit again.
Right. And it's not like the kind of thing you can just print out and hand up there or whatever.
Yeah, you
can just email a document.
Them.
Like, right. So, you know, you can have someone do it, but they don't give you the whatever the fuck. So I went up there and they showed me the copy that was on their desk, and I was like, okay, cool. Got my package and chilled. That was my day for that day. And then I also was ordering I also had another issue with the bank, which is still kind of ongoing, but I don't know if we said this on the show or not, but so I had I think I told Justin this, but so right before Cam was about to go on a trip, and thank God we've been so smart, which is like I haven't been spending money. I've been paying off debt, paying off bills.
Yep, just that's been the goal.
Trying to stay disciplined and not blow it on some bullshit. You know what I mean? So thank God, man, because like we had a transaction come through my account, and it was an ACH transaction. So if you guys know what that is, it's not like when someone like steals your debit card number or you know they somehow they got a hold of your like no this is your actual the digits on your account,
right?
The routing number,
correct?
Someone used that to take money on my account, and it was a grip of money, like rent money, and rent was due. We got that. I had to take care of that too, because the way they had it marked off, in order to get my money back, it was gonna take, they had it marked off as like December 16th or December 10th as the day of when they expect to close out this case. Now it's at the time it's that's a month away, you know what I mean? So I'm like, how is that acceptable?
Right,
who do you know in America where most people are living check to check, who do you know that can just take like lose rent money out their fucking account and then just be cool with it?
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm glad I was gone. Like, I'm so glad you lovely white woman went up there and did your white woman thing.
Well, you was part of it too, for a little bit, cause it was before you left that it started.
Right.
So, the first time I went up there, it was a sister. I went to the black branch of our bank, in the black part of town. And she was like, hella casual about it, because see I was balancing my virtual checkbook, you know, I try to do it daily or every few days at least, you know. It's just a habit that I've always had. So I was balancing my checkbook, and then like I noticed this big ass amount missing that I ain't spend on fucking CJ's Motors or whatever the fuck. And it was an ACH thing, it wasn't a debit, it wasn't they didn't use my card. So I'm like, I don't know what the fuck
right
this is. So I call the bank, they tell me, well, you need to close this account because they got your information and you don't know how it happened, but you need to, if you want to file charge fraud on this, then you need to, you know, do this shit. We're gonna send you some paperwork, da da da. In the meantime, you actually have to go to the branch to close your account. So I go to the branch, I'm talking to his sister, and she, and the thing is, I guess to a certain level, you probably want to like calm people down by being like, I mean, you probably see this shit every day in that job, but for me it's a big deal, you know. So for her it was just very much like, well, you know, this happens all the time, and how much was it? And I'm like, tell her how much. She's like, ooh, that's a lot. I'm like, exactly,
that's why my black ass is here,
right? Like, this ain't $30 of gas, like,
come on.
So she's like, well, we can close the account, and then you got some pending charges, but after those clear, close the account, open up a new account, transfer the remaining balance into the new account, da 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 da. And you know, we had a couple casual moments where like it was some people talking loud outside, and she was like, ooh, they loud, they gotta calm down or something like that. And then like we was, you know, like buddy buddy almost. And then so then I, she was like, you don't have to get rid of your debit card, I'll just transfer the debit card to your new account, so it'll just go out of that. And I said, okay, cool. So meanwhile on the phone, the dude had told me close the account, close the debit card, get a new one, everything. So I go up the street, I need gas, I'm getting gas, and I'm thinking about it, I'm like, wait a minute, dude said close everything, and she just changed the account, and the one account ain't officially closed until the other charges come through. So who knows if that means the person can just go back and take some more money, I don't know. So I'm like, do I need to go back up here? I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go back up there. So I went home, I turned around, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. So I just went back up there, immediately talked to the same woman. And this time she said something, and I don't know if she just, if this is her inner monologue and it just slipped, or she was just talking about some other people, I don't know. But I was like, yeah, so I thought about it. I actually do want to close my debit card, right? And I need a new one. And she was like, they ain't about to work me to death. And I was like, who was they? Me? Like, how did we get here? I mean, don't have an attitude with me when I'm just asking. If it was your money, what would you do?
That is the whole goddamn point. If it was your money, you would be highly upset. And my thing is, I really try my best to be calm and cool and collect. But your job is to fix my money. This is your job. I don't know how these systems work. You need to do your job.
Right. So at that point, I'm like, look, I don't care. Just, you know, close everything. Like, is like, at this point, like, I'm not gonna get an attitude with you. I'm not one of those people that you know, I pay your salary. I'm not one of those people.
I say I really do too, but it's like one of the things, you can't be too relaxed now.
Yeah, well, you know, anyway, that's just the way I'm built. I'm not one of those people. I don't like getting amped up because I don't like being out of control. I don't like being angry. I don't know if it's just I'm a large black man thing or what, but it's just not my thing. You know, when the dude threw that fucking thing in my car, I didn't, you know, that's the thing. I'm not scared. I'm not even nervous. It's just a weird, like, feeling of, okay, this is happening. Here's the right things to do. Let's just get this resolved and move on.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, be that as it may, I'm not trying to work you to death or whatever, but I need you to take care of what your job is.
Right.
So she closed out my account, and then she's like, I'll destroy the card and everything. And then she was like, you don't have, we don't have any new temporary cards, so I can't give you a card. And I was like, okay, so what can I do about that? She was like, well, you can go to another branch and get them to get you a temporary card. Now in my mind, I'm also thinking about all these transactions on my account, right? Because it's going to take a couple of days for everything to stop pending, be resolved, come out of the right account, come out of the right money. There's a new account that's been opened. Like, it's a bunch of shit, and that's going to take days to settle. You got to wait till it hits a zero balance before you can even close your account. So, you know, I'm like, you know what? That's cool. Thank you for your time, ma'am. And she's like, and that's the other thing that's annoying. I don't know if you guys ever go inside an actual bank, but every time you talk to somebody, well, would you like to open up a credit account?
Sale pitch.
What about a bank account? What about a business account? And I'm like, I have a business account through you guys. I have everything through you guys. So there's nothing extra you can sell me. Well, what about the merchant such as I actually have that through y'all too. Like, everything's through y'all is really like, you know, like, let's, like, I don't know why you can't just look it up so you can see.
Right.
Before you even ask, cause it's like, and then it's like, well, dude, you want a credit card? Cause if you have a credit card, you can just pay the da-da-da. I said, I don't even want a credit card. That's not the problem. Like, the last thing I want is some more credit to get debt with. Like, if I have to put things on a credit card, I have enough credit to do it on other cards and shit. That's not the point. The point is to fix this thing. So, I go home, and then that Karen was still here. So Karen gets off work, and she sees me kind of like, I'm tired from talking to all these fucking people that I don't know.
I know you are. I know I had to take a lot out of you.
Yeah. And obviously just stressed out about the money too. Cause it's like, you know, rent is due. It's changes things. Karen's going out of town. I want to make sure Karen has enough money to enjoy Jamaica. I don't want her to be out there, you know, having to reel it in and shit. So it's like, you know, I'm figuring out what I'm going to do in my head. And now, Karen came home and was like, well, let's go talk to one more person at a different branch and get the temporary card, because I had to do that anyway.
Right.
So we talked to that dude, and he was cool. He was on it, like, right away.
Yeah, we told him the dollar amount. He said, woo! Like, he came out of his bank account.
He, like, actually started calling people.
Yes, he did.
Checking on things.
She should have did.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, I don't know if it was just because it was earlier in the day. Maybe she wouldn't have had that information. I don't know. But she didn't do any of that. So he calls and he's like, it looks like they didn't, like, hack your account. They didn't even know it was your account. It may have just been some transposed numbers. It was an over-the-phone payment for some fucking, like, some type of heavy haul equipment or some shit. Yes. So y'all can guess the motherfucking money, right? So it was like, it was a mix up, and you should be straight, but, you're gonna have to, you know, it's gonna take a few days. He said, they'll send you the paperwork, all this stuff. Here's your temporary card, you know, and of course do you have this to us? Do you have that? Do you have a business card? I was like, it's all.
But I didn't mind with him because I was like, okay, you did your job. I go through the pitch with you.
Right. So, I get home, and then, so that, you know, that was before Karen left. Karen leaves. Monday I went up there, maybe it was Tuesday, I waited till they opened, and I talked to a woman there, because I checked the mail and I had a form. Yeah, this was Tuesday, and I had the form for the fraud stuff, and you have to fill it out and mail it back. Mm-hmm. Right? And it was like, you need to get this notarized. So I'm like, oh, I gotta get it notarized. Right. Let me go up to the bank, because they got notaries there.
Correct.
And they'll let me know if I'm filling it out right.
Right.
So I talked to the lady there. She's like, we do have a notary, but this thing's, you actually don't need to get it notarized. Like, she's like, we've never had to get it notarized before, but also they don't have the space for the notary thing on the form,
because it's a big ass circle.
She was like, I don't know why, you know what that means, but you're fine, just fill out this paperwork, I'm gonna fax it in from the bank, so it'll go faster,
right?
And then you will get your money back a little bit faster, you can call this number to check on everything, blah blah blah. So that's all in the works. She said it still might take 10 days from then. Mm-hmm. You know, which is, like I said, I can't imagine if this would have happened when we had less money. I don't know what the fuck would have happened, you know what I'm saying? Like, you'd be out of a house or some shit. But at any rate,
that wouldn't have been,
and because it's ACH, they can't put a provisional credit in your account.
Right.
If it was a debit card transaction or something, that type of fraud, they actually will put the money back in your account. ACH fraud, they don't. And I think a lot of that is also because what happens to some of this fraud shit is that it's people that you know stealing from you. Mm. And so they're basically like, if we catch this, because you have to fill out on this paperwork, if you catch this person, you will prosecute them, you will, if they gotta go to jail, they gonna go to jail.
Yes, the hell they are.
Right. So, but you know, we say that so easily, but it might be your mama.
Correct.
It might be a relative with a drug problem. It might be your son. It might be your child. Everybody don't want to send everybody to jail.
Correct.
It might be different if it's somebody you love that stole from you, you know? That was just a piece of work, you know? And I still waiting on that money, you know? So we'll see what happens with that. Then what else did I do? I got up with Drew and Justin on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. Went out to Jackson Jill's.
Y'all had went to one place, but there was dress code or something.
They wanted to, Drew has a membership to this place. I forget the name of it. Some trendy swanky place with, it's like a private bar. You know how they do that here. You got to dress up. A lot of times they don't sell food. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they do, but they can serve alcohol if you make it a private. It's the private bar,
right?
But that normally comes with a dress code and correct rules and shit, which I abhor. So he wanted to go there, but then he was like, oh, it's a dress code, we gotta have jeans and a nice shirt and shit. I was like, nope, out, not doing that. Just not my thing. I live this life for the opposite reason of that, you know what I mean? Like, so we go to we went to Jackson Jill's instead and just talked and hung out, me, him, and Justin. Just talked about random stuff. It was cool. And took a picture and sent it to you, let y'all know, because you and Leslie said me and Drew and Justin weren't going to hang out. And y'all was wrong. So
glad y'all proved us wrong. I was like, no pictures. It didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Think Thursday, I think, is when we recorded Balls Deep, maybe. So maybe we hung out Thursday, I don't remember, but one of them days I recorded Balls Deep, you know, and chilled. Like I said, watched a lot of stuff, Star Trek Discovery. I tried to watch The Deuce, everybody's favorite HBO show, but apparently when I set the to record so that I could watch all the, and I was gonna watch all the recorded DVR The Deuces that I had on my show, on my DVR. Mm-hmm. Apparently I had it set to HBO Espanol.
Oh, so you got it all in Spanish?
Yeah, so I just deleted it all. I guess I missed it. But I was like, why wasn't it called like El Dos? It was gonna be
right. HBO
Espanol.
To let you know that there is a difference. This is not English.
All right. So, I just went ahead and was like, whatever. So I didn't watch that one. But yeah, and then I did The Nerd Off. Me and Bossy did This Too Much. That was Wednesday, we did This Too Much. And that was about it, man. Just, you know, it was a real cool week. Like I said, Left a lot of Yelp reviews, places and stuff. I wrote, I think the day you left, I wrote this, thing I have been thinking about for a long time. If you guys have a Medium, you guys know the website and the app called Medium, medium.com. It's a place for basically people to write long, well, blogs and writers to go there. Right. I have an account there. I don't normally write that much, that often, but, I wrote this long thing about Kaepernick and I had a breakthrough where I kind of realized what's really bothering people about Kaepernick. And it's not, in my opinion, it's deeper than everything. It's deeper than the flag. It's deeper than, people in their communities. It's deeper than the police even. Like it's just cause it's cause something about that protest has always made me feel like, I don't understand. I didn't understand why people were so mad if they were, if it was about what they said. Because what I have realized is that there's no appeasing anybody. Mm-mm. I don't expect the people that are mad over players kneeling to relent.
Right.
And I don't expect the people that are mad that the NFL and other folks won't give Kaepernick a job. I don't expect them to relent. Like, nope. I don't think if Kaepernick gets a job, it'll end it. Mm-mm. I don't think if, the NFL gave $1 million to Black Lives Matter or whatever organization you want to pick,
it would not end.
I don't think it would end people's feelings of animosity, because I think Kaepernick strong. He hits something deep in the soul of America, which is control of the black body.
Right.
And the fact that he rejected it is, for those of us that have had like white friends or whatever, it's that moment when a white person that thinks they're your friend finds out that you're not really friends, and right. they don't, and in their mind they never considered it, because they have a lot of surface level relationships
with people
of color, right? Like that happens a lot.
Nothing deep.
Almost every black person has this situation. I'm not saying you don't have any real white friends. A lot of us do. What I'm saying is there's a level where sometimes a white person will think y'all are friends and they're not, because you wouldn't talk to them about race. Yeah. You know not to talk to them about politics.
They've never been over your house. You've never been over their house. Y'all right. ate dinner together. Y'all don't even talk about Black Lives Matter. Like, you know, it's one of those things where when you're dealing with people of different races, we need to be talking about all of me. Not just I'm a drinking buddy. Not just I'm somebody cool to hang out with. Not I'm your black friend. Because you can tell the difference when you ask a white person, are y'all cool? Yeah, y'all friends. Yeah, yeah. But I'm like, nah, we ain't that cool. You know, because the thing is, friendships run deep. And white people have a lot of times the luxury of just having surface friendships with people of color and just claiming that they're the friends, when that's not always so.
Yeah, there's a lot of us that are on the... If some white person says something racist, they list us as a black friend, you know, list. But yeah. I feel like you'll find that black friend. A lot of us would be like, no, not really.
Right. And the only reason why I'm quote unquote your friend, because I'm a good one. And the second I step out of line, I'm a nigger. And I know this. So, okay. And the thing is, black people can tell which white people actually care about them and their culture and their people. And which white people are like, you just look at them and go, nah, we'll never be cool.
Well, also it's a trust thing too, because right. I'm not even saying that it's about me going, oh, I know you're secretly racist. That's not even what I'm saying. I think just like all men are sexist, all white people have issues around race. Like, that's not the problem. I think you can still be friends with somebody that has issues, you know,
right.
Like they can be like they're wrong. Yeah. But y'all have a friendship. They can learn. People aren't perfect.
And people grow. Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is this. If I won't even broach the topic with you.
Right.
We're not friends.
Mm-mm.
You know, and I think what Kaepernick struck at was that bargain that is made between the black athlete in America and the white consumptive audience. And it's even more bigger than athletes, but we're talking about this specific thing. It goes to any black level of celebrity and money, to be honest. It goes to, you know, how white women were cool with Beyonce until her feminism got black specifically.
Come on.
Like when it was just feminism, it was cool to them. It was, oh, all my women is independent. Okay. You know, all girl, who ladies. Run the world? Girls. Okay, cool. But when she went, now I like my Negro nose, with Jackson 5 nostrils, it's like, oh, well, fuck you, Beyonce. Now I don't like you. Don't come to the Country Music Awards. You know, it was that rejection of her. She accepted something about herself, which immediately puts her at odds with this other, you know, with these white folks. And Kaepernick's not standing specifically for the national anthem, because remember, this didn't start with that kneeling. He sat. And even now, it's just become so many things about it that it's not. Well, he wasn't disrespecting the anthem. The fuck he wasn't? Yes, he was. What's the problem with that, though? Like, why, even if people that have his back are trying to turn it into, well, he wasn't doing this and he wasn't doing that, what would it matter if he was? The fucking anthem is racist. The next stanza we'll never sing out loud because we all are like, yeah, that's racist. He wasn't just respecting the flag. I mean, he wouldn't stand for it. If he was, so what? You know? And I do believe when they say it's not about the military, I believe that, but that's just because y'all try to turn the flag into anything to deal with the flag, gotta deal with the military. That's just not true.
Nope, that's not true. And you said, and I hope eventually they do, just fucking get rid of it. Just don't have it out there.
Well, here's my point. He did that. And it strikes at the bargain. The bargain isn't just that patriotism. Mm-mm. Because I think that's what we got stuck on. But that, as an empath, sometimes I feel like when I'm talking to people and when I'm listening to them talk, they're lying to me because they're lying to themselves.
Right.
They don't mean to, and it's forgivable. We all do it. It's not, until you come to grips with something yourself, you can't really express how you feel.
Right.
So I've been listening to people, and you know, specifically my man Randolph Terrence, I have to give him a big shout out. You know, he's boycotting the NFL this year. I listen to Three Guys On religiously. Mm-hmm. I follow his Facebook. You know, we talk back and forth all the time.
Very intelligent man.
You know, I have tremendous respect for him. I think you know, the way I navigate life, you know, you can disagree about something without it being pejorative or right. You're bad, I'm wrong, I'm right, you're wrong. So he was just very gung-ho on, like, I'm boycotting, which, fine, you know, he's making that decision for himself. He wasn't one of those like, and you niggas are coons, like, he right. wasn't
and that's
one of
why
those.
I respected him. Like, I didn't, like I said, my problem is not when people protest. My problem is people protest and then they look at everybody else like something wrong with
right, because then it invites the question of, well, hold up, why am I a coon now, but you, everything else was fine anyway.
Correct. Come on.
The point being, though, I've been listening to him, and like, and you know, his response is so filled with like anger and pride, and also just a shocking disbelief of the fucking audacity of people to make revisionist history of basically undermining Kaepernick's talent as if he's not talented enough to play in the NFL.
right.
So I was listening to it and I realized, like, oh no, it's deeper than that. It's that they're only having this reaction to him because he turned down the facade of the humble Negro, the religious Negro, the patriotic Negro. You know, like, these are all masks that we ask these guys to wear in order to pay for, to buy their shoes and watch their games. You know, some black people buy into it too, but I mean, and some of us that are black, we identify with wearing the mask. So when we see him take it off, it resonates with us on a deeper level.
Yes, it does.
Than football, than any sport, than any event could ever capture. You know, it's the same feeling that you get when you see like a protester stand in front of a tank or some shit. You know, it's like the feeling I got when people in Ferguson weren't gonna get off the street. You know, it's like that. While I understand the danger they're putting themselves in, it also resonates with a part of me of like, I'm tired of this shit too.
Come on.
You know, so Kaepernick, I think, whether he's worthy of all the stuff, I know he just got GQ Citizen of the Year. There's, you know, there's a lot to it. You know, there's people that don't like him because he didn't vote. You know, there's still, I saw someone bringing up the time that he was accused of sexual assault in Miami, which, you know, it, from the media reports turned out to be like, it was no, like, this woman was not drugged and all this type of stuff, and there was no sexual assault and no evidence, blah, blah, blah. We covered that on Balls D Sports like 2-3 years now. But I saw someone bringing that back up after he made the GQ cover. So it's like, these things are going to surface. I'm not saying, like, I'm saying everything that's happening is even bigger than him.
Right.
Like, it ain't even about him, really. Mm-hmm. Whether he get a job or not, it'll never change. We'll never go back for a lot of people. They will never unsee what they saw. The truth has been revealed of there's nothing these people respect about you. And if not, I think a lot of black people have been accepted the idea of, well, they don't like us, but they tolerate us because we entertain them. That's right. A bargain. That's a bargain most black people are at.
Mm-hmm.
I think what this has revealed to a lot of people, it's not about them tolerating you. They hate you.
They hate you.
What they can consume of you, they will take. But beyond that, these people in this crowd, they openly hate you. And the NFL and sporting events and stuff, they covet that dollar, and they actually draw those people to the people they hate. And it's this magic trick of, well, if I don't as a white person in the stands, I hate these black people. They come from bad environments, they got tattoos, I never want them to let them come to my house, da da da. I don't want to do this, that, or the other with them. But I'd be a bad American if I go to this game and we have to stand for the flag, and I didn't. Right? If I didn't clap for the person singing the Star Spangled Banner, I'd be a bad American. So I'm going to do that. So I'm already clapping now. When this guy wins a game and he can't say the truth of, I hit that shot because I shoot that shot 400 times a day in practice every day since I was fucking able to stand and dribble a ball, and that's why I'm good. I'm better than everybody else on this court. And so when I shot that shot to win the game, that was me. That was my skill. That was my talent. That was my hard work, my effort. And I'm worth every fucking $1 million that I got, if not fucking more. I built this arena is built off of my sweat, off of my tears, off of my back. And I'm using this money to provide for my family and do whatever I want. I'm using some of it frivolously. I'm balling with some of this money. I'm fucking bitches with some of this money. I'm getting cars with some of this money. Like, all the things that people deem as bad, I'm giving it to my friends who are just my friends from the neighborhood. They ain't gotta be businessmen. All the things we have contempt for these athletes for doing. How many people you watch? Oh, Allen Iverson and his posse. And they sound almost happy he lost his money.
Right.
Because they think a nigger like that should have never had that money.
Correct.
Right? So, so the bargain that was struck is that, well, when I hit this shot, I won't say that. I won't say the truth. What I will say is, well, it's God, you know, I just worked so hard and I prayed to God and I just, you know, I said, thank Jesus. He answered my prayers and I threw that touchdown. And you know what? That's a filter between the audience that hates this guy. Cause now if you hate me, you now hating God. I'm one of these Negroes that loves your Jesus. You gonna sit up here and tell me that I can't, you know, when I say thank God, just, you know, I appreciate, you know, if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't even be here. And I'm just so glad, you know, when I was just praying on that. They let Ray Lewis love God to the tune of coming back from conspiracy to murder charges.
Come on.
He on TV now every day. And the whole thing is, you know, I sit down and I pray and I do this and the other. So I feel like that's what Kaepernick struck at. And it's impossible to take back. And it wasn't, and when I say he struck at it, I really do mean for both sides. Like, and I'm not saying it's equal, cause I obviously racist white people are worse than anything, but when you got black men that literally don't care about Kaepernick's cause, they've never said one word about somebody dying in the streets. They didn't get mad till Trump said they were sons of bitches. They didn't get mad until their owner called them inmates. And if that lasted for a week and then it stopped. They're not activists. They're not being activated. They're not, this isn't a cause. This isn't a lifelong commitment. They're not willing to really lose anything for it. And I'm not blaming them for this. No. This is not judgment.
Right.
Cause I know a lot of black people get off on that, on being like, and you coons. Nope. Not calling them coons. I completely understand. A lot of people go to work and make a bargain every fucking day of their life to survive in a white capitalist patriarchy. But the point being, those dudes knelt for a whole different other reason. And it's varied. It's not the same for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, but the unifying thing of these mostly black men kneeling is that pride. Y'all came at this dude because he, for a second, he was just human. And he was like, I'm fucking tired. I don't want to stand up for what I feel is a hypocritical shit show when y'all don't care about us. Mm-mm. You don't care about me on this field unless I'm throwing touchdowns for your team, and you don't care about me when I walk out this arena. And that's what that Kaepernick shit was about. So I wrote that on Medium, and it got a whole lot of people were sharing, a lot of people was boosting it and stuff. So I appreciate everybody took the time out to do that. I think the title is The Kneel, like KNEEL, The Kneel heard around the world. So if you guys want to do that, maybe I'll put a link to it in the show notes or something. But yeah, so that's what I did with my week, in addition to being a white woman of color. I still couldn't help but get some militancy in there, because I finally had time to really write about it. Let's see what else we got here. Let's do some news. All right, we got some news. Let's see what we're gonna talk about. But I'm trying to wrap this up so we can watch The Flash too. Okay. All right, how about this? There's a group that is challenging people not to masturbate during No Nut November.
Who made up this bullshit?
It's a group of Reddit users on the discussion site's NoFap subreddit, which they have a whole group of Reddit people that's not for not for jacking it.
I'm old.
They've committed to New Life November 2017, aka No Nut November, a 30-day no masturbation challenge meant to help people reboot from a life of excessive masturbation, porn, and sex addiction. Some NoFappers, or Fapstronauts, as many call themselves, claim that abstaining from porn, masturbation, and orgasms help feel more focused, energetic, and confident. According to NoFap.com, the subreddit's official website, the group embraces no masturbating as a way to help quit porn, improve your relationships, and reach your sexual health goals. They're open to people of any gender and couples, and call their approach science-based, secular, and sex-positive. The group isn't anti-masturbation or anti-porn per se. In fact, it began in June 2011 after a man named Alexander Rhodes decided to quit masturbating for a week as a way to curb his porn use. Rhodes shared his experience on Reddit, eventually found a small community of people who reported other personal improvements when quitting masturbating. Since then, NoFap has encouraged its members to reboot from porn, masturbation, and orgasms, called PMO, using one of four models. Light mode involves no porn. The standard reboot involves no porn or masturbating with or without orgasm. Hard mode involves no porn, masturbating, orgasming at all, even if done with a sexual partner. And monk mode combines hard mode with another personally created challenge like fasting, working out, or avoiding all video media altogether. It's 14 days in November, so I don't know how many of y'all have made the challenge yet. But good luck, guys. I'm out already. So, on all the modes. Just call me Mr. Peanut. If we're gonna have no nut November, then give me a top hat and a monocle.
Duh!
Cause I'm out. There's a sex toy app that recorded and stored nearby sounds. A smart sex toy maker has acknowledged that a bug in his app causes handsets to record and store sounds made while his vibrators were in use.
Ain't no telling what they picked up.
The Lovent app is, I think, the name of it. It was alerted, the company was alerted to this issue by a Reddit user who had discovered a lengthy recording on their phone. The Hong Kong-based firm said the audio file was not transmitted off the device, and they've now fixed the issue.
Believe you.
Well, one expert said the case highlighted the risk of using internet connected gadgets. The matter gained attention after being reported by the Verge news site. The remote app allows the sex toys to be controlled via Bluetooth. It uses a smartphone's microphones to listen to nearby sounds so that noises can be used to as a trigger if desired. What was not clear was that the audio was being stored. The company's privacy site says it's designed our system to record as little information as about our users as possible. That's a lie. However, last Thursday, one owner flagged the issue. I was going through my phone media to prepare it for a factory reset and came across a file called tempsoundplay.3gp. I wrote this username Ty Doctor. The file was full audio recording 6 minutes longer the last time I used the app to control my vibrator. We used it at a bar while playing pool. At no time had I wanted the app to record entire sessions using the vibrator. The company responded the next day, describing the issue as being a minor bug that was limited to Android devices, and added that no information or data is sent to our servers.
I don't believe you. I don't believe it was no goddamn bug either.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. Trying to...
Yeah, they underlay shit in there hoping people don't find it.
Mm-hmm. You gonna, somebody gonna turn on somebody's porn video or something, and y'all gonna hear your self dubbed on in there.
Come on.
Like, what is this? Let's see what else is happening. A man developed an app to reveal what women look like without makeup. So many questions.
You said a man did this, right?
Of course a man did
this.
Okay,
I'm about to say.
Who else would it be, Karen?
Dumbass idea.
Yeah, you know,
you ain't got nothing to do with your goddamn time.
It's always, men are so weird about this shit, because it's like, and I'm, this has existed my whole life, and I know that I'm the weird one. This is not some, like, and I'm not patting myself on the back for it. It's just, like, I don't feel like, oh, and I made a conscious choice. Like, I honestly just, as a man, if I'm not having sex with a person, if we're not in a relationship, I just don't understand why what they look like is for me to belittle or what, like, right. Like, she needs to walk out of her house and do me the service of being attractive. You know what I mean? Like, that's always been weird to me.
That's,
I think,
that ownership.
Yeah, a lot of people have that type of mentality about shit, and I just don't, like, when people get mad at other people for being fat and stuff, I'm like, where does that anger come from? Everybody gotta be pleasing you. Everybody gotta live the life you living. Is it an inner thing where you decided that this is your fear, so now I'm gonna voice it as if, you know, like, this is the voice, like, I'm so afraid of not being this person. So what for me, and this is weird, because one, I don't know, a few millennia of oppression might lead women to being like, I gotta quote unquote trick somebody to survive. You know, in a world where it's recent that women got the right to vote, it's recent that women got jobs, not to mention they still don't have paid wage equality. Mm-mm. In a world where we still debate over a woman's right to her own body during pregnancy,
come on,
women may have adapted some things to boost their value the same way dudes have adapted certain shit to boost their value. You know, the visceral anger at women for wearing makeup or yoga pants or shit like that, it's so weird, because, like, you know, every time an ugly man can augment his sexual attractiveness, you know where they end up? Louis C.K. They end up Kevin Spacey. They end, like, what is that? If being Weinstein is if it's anything, it's that dude shouldn't be getting laid by anybody. But listen, he has a lot of access and power, and what does he use it for? Like, a woman ain't never made up a man into rape, but niggas act like they got raped because they got attracted to a woman that got fucking makeup on. I don't understand. But yeah, so that was one of the things. The second thing is, and I am not exaggerating, I'm not joking, I really do feel like shit like this is why Donald Trump is president. Shit like this is why we don't believe victims of sexual assaults. It's this impulse of these, every woman on the planet is trying to trick me. And if she don't look like a motherfucking model on the runway, but sans makeup, sans any clothing that would be flattering to the eye, she is just an untrustworthy lying witch, and we need to burn her at the stake. It's that impetus. You know what I mean? This nigga made a whole ass app, and like, women that don't wear makeup were taking pictures with it, and it just make you like a fucking zombie. like now like a meth head, like it doesn't even really work, you know. But the, you know, and maybe he made this as a party trick type thing or something, but the point being, even the impetus of wanting to do this is stupid,
right?
I hope somebody make a take the beard and fit it off of niggas faces app, because that would be hilarious. But yeah, he basically made this app to de makeup. By the way, how much I want to bet it works on white people differently than black people?
Of course.
And people of color? How much I want to bet?
Come on.
But yeah, it's called Make App. It's the brainchild of once Kremlin-linked Russian founder Ashat Gabrielnov. Okay, for what it's worth, I thought that the AI itself worked pretty well on my face. This person's giving a review of it. But she says, but the app as a concept, not a technology, is both laughable and problematic. After all, the makeup free version is just another filter. It's no more or less real than a selfie that's been run through Facetune or VSCO or tweaked a bit with Instagram. And the idea that somebody might need an app to help them figure out what somebody's face, celebrity or normie, looks like without makeup is comical. Yeah, so I don't know.
As a man that don't have to deal with the fucking pressure of makeup, get the whole entire fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's just stupid, man. But I just thought, like, I was reading that, like, this motherfucker.
Yeah, men do some of the dumbest shit. That don't make no sense. Who gives a fuck?
Yep. Meek Mill going back to jail.
I heard.
Yeah, his legal team says the judge gave him a heavy sentence because he refused to give her a shout out in a Boys to Men record. What? What is happening?
Is that real? You made that up.
No, this is real. I mean, I get my news from credible sources like BallAlert.com, Karen. Think I would make something up like this? Earlier this week, Meek Mill was sentenced to 2 to 4 years behind bars for violating probation again. Well, I guess Nikki got out just in time.
Yeah, she did.
Despite the judge's 10-year history with the rapper and several previous easy breaks, many believe the sentence was harsh and heavy-handed. In fact, the rapper's legal team says the judge has a vendetta against him. According to TMZ, Meek's attorney, Joe Tacopino, says the judge passed down the heavy sentence even after prosecutors recommended no jail time because of her own personal issues with the rapper. Tacopino says the two are from the same part of Philly and know some of the same people. Tacopino cited an incident from last year when a judge asked the rapper to do a remake of Boys to Men on Bended Knee and give her a shout out. Why was that a joke? Has she listened to Meek Mill? What the fuck was that gonna sound like?
Right, that's what I was asking. Did you make that up?
I'm on bending knee, nigga. Like, you just gonna be yelling at you the whole time. Yeah. According to the attorney, Meek thought the judge was joking, but she said, "I'm not kidding." And when he refused, she said, "Okay, suit yourself." Since then, Tacopino believes she has had it for out for him, which explains the heavy sentence. As a result, Meek's legal team says they plan to appeal the sentence. If they able to get an appeal off of that, that's amazing. He also sat down with Angie Martinez to further detail the judge's alleged vendetta. So, I guess Meek going back to jail, man.
Yeah, I know he's going back to jail, but this is my thing about this. Particularly if this all is true, I hope they do overturn it. Because if this was a woman, if this was reversed, people would be having
a motherfucking fit
if the roles were reversed.
If it was a man just saying, make me a song and shit.
Right. People.
I mean, people are having a fit over this. I know you've been kind of out of the country, but a lot of celebrities been speaking up and stuff. I mean, it's pretty egregious. It says a lot about our justice, quote unquote, system, that this dude is considered some type of, you know, risk or whatever, that he would need to be sentenced so harshly. So yeah, I don't know what exactly he violated in his probation though, so I can't answer that. You know, I hope it was nothing violent or anything, but you know, it's also very difficult to do what he does for a living without violating some sort of probation or parole, because they're very restrictive. A lot of times they don't want you traveling certain places. You got to clear everything through them. Of course, random drug test. You can't miss any. And people go, well, then don't take the probation. You do, when you have jail hanging over your head, most of us would take that fucking probation. Cause then at least I get to be free. You know, I'd rather try to do what I'm supposed to do free. And I think, it was like a one of those suspended sentences type things where it's like, if you fuck up, then you coming back for what the sentence would have been. So I mean, like I said, I don't really, I just feel bad for the dude in that respect, because it just seems kind of rather harsh. Jay-Z said the sentence handed down by the judge against the recommendation of the assistant district attorney and probation officer is unjust and heavy-handed. We will always stand and support Meek Mill, both as he attempts to right this wrongful sentence and then in returning to his musical career. T.I. said something, old picture of him and Meek. He says, was with you then, we still with you now, this too shall pass, you got this, God places the heaviest loads on the strongest backs, we got real love for you out here, King. Kevin Hart had a picture with Meek, put it on Instagram, praying for my brother at Meek Mill right now, God sometimes puts the toughest battles on the strongest soldiers, I'm here for you man, my brother for life, always here for you man, this storm will pass, stay strong, keep your head up. Angie Martinez also said the system is so rigged, man. The fact that he was on probation for 10 years over some paperwork is a setup. Shit makes me so sad. Praying for you, Meek Mill. So, yeah. You know, of course, Twitter was all over the, like, you know, don't take probation and all that shit that people do. So, let's see what else happened. Democrats won a whole lot of stuff while you was out of the country. They won a whole lot of elections. Virginia, like I said, Charlotte, you know, a lot of places. We got our first ever, first ever out trans woman elected, but not, but there was another trans woman who of color who was elected a long time ago, but she was outed. It was different. Like, it wasn't she didn't have that opportunity. So
this person ran on the platform as, this is who I am.
Right. So there was some major wins, but gerrymandering still coming. It's still coming.
Oh yeah, they still, it's still the fight. Laws. Yeah, they still,
if
fighting.
Anything, this, you would think, listen, you know who saved the Virginia who saved Virginia from going Republican again? I'll give you one guess. Who you think? What demographic of voters?
Oh, black women.
Black women. Again, black women. White women voted. What percentage you think they voted for Republican this time?
The 53.
51, Karen.
Oh shit, I was close.
2% of them changed since Trump.
2%. I don't believe them 2% change.
Right. Marginal error of 2%.
Right. So right? They went up. Yeah. So that two, this 53.
That, like, that, like, re, like, honestly, it really, black women saved everybody from electing an open bigot, by the way. This dude that ran was running on the Trump platform. Fuck issues. I don't like them blacks. That shit. And, the fact that Democrats in large have not made this their number one issue. It's setting up. I know, and people get tired of us saying this
again. Like, the Democratic Party will never run presidency again. Not again, but Trump is going to win again, because the issues that are before you, y'all talk about every fucking thing else. Why are we not talking about voter suppression? Why are we not talking about getting people registered to vote? Why are we not pushing voter education? Why are we not pushing getting people civically engaged? You're not pressing none of this. You know, everybody want to talk about all these various different things. You want to talk about the Obamas. You want to talk about Hillary Clinton. These niggas are not running. Let's keep it real. Let's talk about the issues that are before us. And let's talk about the real problem. And you want to talk about every fucking thing else. You want to talk about Bernie, who's not a goddamn Democrat. You want to talk about other shit. You're not even looking into the future. You're not trying to go get nobody young. You're not trying to recruit nobody young. That's what Obama doing. And y'all fucking criticizing them because the old people don't want to change guard and get hip to the game of what the strategy is and how to change. And that's what it becomes very, very frustrating. That's why I was like, oh yeah, Trump gonna win again. I know this because y'all did not learn. And I guarantee you, this election is gonna be, we're not gonna go towards the niggas because Hillary Clinton went towards them and she fucking lost. You did not learn anything.
Yeah, here's the thing that scares me about it. The only people saving them are black people when it comes to these polls. And yet somehow they're running away from black people when it comes to actual, like, who they're recording their votes, and when it comes to who they're putting on the ballot. The only thing that, and this is the reason they want the new Obama, this is the reason they want this is the reason they're looking for that next person to step up and lead. That this is the reason they fell in love, a lot of people fell in love with Bernie Sanders, because he has a personality that they find transformative. What they're really saying is, fuck our policies and our issues, fuck the strategic things we need to do to win. We need to find a person that gets people to vote the right way, just that part, but because they like that person, not because they like their policies, not because they like what they stand for, not because they like their credentials, not because they like their track record. Literally, that they are all looking for a person to hit it out the park. Like, cause, and it's like chasing, it's like trying to draft a LeBron James twice. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? It's like, but that's like, Barack Obama's a once in a lifetime type of candidate. They got white people to vote against the traditional racist shit they normally vote for. That's not a plan. And he didn't get all the white, he got enough white people, because they still voted against his ass.
Come on.
Then they had all this gerrymandering and shit. And they're still trying to follow the blueprint of, well, we'll just get a person that people really like. And that's why when you see people that blame Hillary Clinton for losing the election, that's what they're really saying is, well, we should have just picked a person, because they don't care. It's not her platform. Her platform was the fucking same as Bernie's. It was the same as all Democrats' platform are about the fucking same. It was just a matter of, but if we would have had someone that enough people liked, they would have did the right thing and voted for him.
But the thing is, who gives a fuck if I like you if you don't get shit done? And also, with Bernie, who gives a fuck if they like you if you don't get your asses out and vote to get him in office?
Well, white people like them, right?
Right, and that's the thing. Nobody gave a... Niggas didn't give a fuck about y'all liking him. Niggas was like, he don't care nothing about us.
Right. So, but yeah, that's what it, when I see that gerrymandering is still hanging over the head of the 2018 right, election,
and they're ignoring that.
I can't help but think, well, how short-lived will these victories be?
Very short-lived, because next 2 to 4 years, whenever it come around again, they're gonna pass more laws, they're gonna pass more restraints, they're gonna pass more restrictions, they're gonna push stuff up to the Supreme Court, because this is the shit they do. Because the thing is, when people are scared and people are fearful of losing their power, they will fight tooth and nail, and they will do anything to kill anything that will go against their power. And they know in the future white people will be the minority in this country, and they like, we might be small, but motherfucker, we still gonna have power.
Yeah, I just think like I said, it's just set up for a fail. And that's just what I noticed, because everybody was celebrating the wins, and I'm like, okay, but what are y'all going to do? Because it's not like the Republicans are going to stop gerrymandering.
Right.
So what are y'all going to do? Because to me, y'all don't have a plan right now.
Mm-mm, and that's the problem. How do you win without strength, without plans and strategy? How do you win without vision? How do you win without knowing where you're trying to go? And so far, nobody has came out with a plan. Nobody has came out with a vision, well, steps, what we're going
to
do.
And more importantly, what I'm trying to convey, and I think I keep getting sidetracked, it won't matter if you could literally run Barack Obama next time. The point of all this gerrymandering and voter suppression is that he wouldn't win again.
Right.
Like, everyone is very convinced that it was Hillary Clinton, that if Obama would have run again, he would have just swept Trump. I'm not so convinced. I'm not. You know, we don't know the impact that this shit had on the election. We just don't. Forget the meddling and all that shit.
Millions of people that probably could not vote because
I don't know that even a Barack Obama is nice enough for racist white people to not fucking go vote against him when they're being stoked by open racists like Trump. So, yeah, I just want to be clear on that. When I say gerrymandering and voter suppression should be the number one issues, because the policies don't even matter. To be, no offense, the policies between all these motherfuckers on the left are very close, you know, and I mean, and I'm not even getting into the whole neoliberal corporatism, all that. I'm just saying, in general, of the flavors on the left, it's vanilla, French vanilla, you know, like it ain't exactly motherfucking you know,
extra
so
bland vanilla.
Yeah, like it ain't exactly that fucking different over there. But the point being is, I don't know that a transformative figure is even what they need to be looking for. Mm-hmm. You need to be looking for what you're gonna do on the ground. Anyway.
Right.
Speaking of which, Donna Brazile wrote a I don't know what Donna was thinking. Oh God, Donna.
That's that black lady, right? The older black lady.
Yeah, she got basically thrown under the bus during the Democratic primary because her integrity was questioned. It was when Bernie's people were saying that the DNC was rigged and the debates were rigged and the media was rigged and everything was rigged against Bernie. It wasn't his policies. It wasn't the fact that he just could not court black voters.
And when the fact that he skipped the whole motherfucking South.
Right. It wasn't any of that. It was all just a rig and everything was in Hillary's favor, right? So Donna Brazile, who at the time was a debate moderator in one of the debates, she had a question, I believe, that people were saying, oh, she floated this question to Hillary before the debate, so this is like giving Hillary an advantage. She knew what the question was, which I'm like, it's a fucking debate. They ask the same questions every debate. Like, I guarantee, of all the shit to say is rigging, I'm sorry, but Hillary Clinton being the fucking robot that she is, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, but just she's done this so long, she's a machine at this point. There wasn't a question they were gonna ask that she was like, oh, didn't think that, wouldn't have had an answer for that. Like, that's what she does. Like, so already it was kind of but the Bernie people, especially online and maybe with some Russian influence, were able to turn that into like a scandal. To the tune of, I think Donna Brazile like lost her gig with the debate stuff, but then she also lost her gig, I think, with the actual DNC. Like she, like there was a Debbie Wasserman Schultz or something like that was a DNC person at the time. They had that leak. Remember that leak of emails that everybody swore, this shows they're rigging it against Bernie. And you look at the emails, it's like, I read that shit and was like, no, they didn't. They might not have liked the dude, but they never took any action that would keep the dude from being on the ballot. They never kept him out of a debate. They never rigged a fucking thing. If anything, you might make the argument that it showed how feckless they were, that they didn't rig it. You know what I mean? That they really thought this motherfucker is coming from outside the party trying to take over and don't share funding with us or anything, keeping all his money to himself.
Come on.
Saying basically y'all can go fuck yourselves if I win, it's on me. And what happens? Only thing they saying is like, well, you know, maybe you know, I don't like this dude, you know, that's it, you know. So that was the sum total of rigging for his against this nigga, right? So anyway, she ended up getting pretty much ousted out of all that. She got basically thrown under the bus. Like, she was interim DNC chief after Wasserman Schultz got let go. So she's got a book coming out. Totally fine. You're gonna sell your book, you gotta sell your book, right? So she releases this like explosive thing on politico.com that was like, the DNC was rigged against Bernie and I found the proof. So everybody's like, ooh, and drummed up all the 2016 revisionist shit, everybody arguing again.
Only see.
Right. And you know, and honestly, I read it and I didn't really understand how she thought she found a smoking gun. She basically said that she found a joint funding agreement that was paperwork that said that the Clinton campaign would fund the DNC with money they raised together. And she alluded to it being before the primary, even before she even was running, before they even picked a nominee. It turns out that information was wrong. The paperwork was the same paperwork that Bernie had to fill out, that if you are the nominee, you have to take some of your funding as president and fund some of these local elections, some of these positions, right. Some of that stuff.
It's mandatory. It makes sense.
Right. She was upset that there were people, or she thought some of the smoking gun evidence was, well, some of these people were really big Clinton supporters and they worked in the DNC. Once again, not a fucking conspiracy. like that literally, if Hillary Clinton's been a politician for 20 something years, you're gonna have connections because you're 20 years deep in the DNC. Like, you have built those they're called relationships. You know, people thought you were one of his relationships, for the record.
Yeah, they did.
They were counting her. Like, I watched people impugn her credibility. Bernie people. I watched Bernie people call her out her name, everything. Call her corrupt. All this shit, right? But now she's writing this thing, and now she's the saint. You know, she's the greatest. She's, oh, we love Donna.
Until you say something to make them mad, they turn on you too.
Right. But the point being, they went from mad to she got the proof. So I read this thing and I just went like, I don't know what Donna's doing. Maybe she's selling her book. That's fine. You know, but, and I was like, this is an explosive excerpt of your book or whatever. This is how you sell books anyway. I get it. I'm not mad. You know, like, that's her credibility in her career. She wants to burn the bridges or whatever. Cool. Maybe the bridge has already been burned, right?
Correct.
And maybe she just mad because them niggas didn't have her back when they floated that story about that interview question and shit. Like, they did leave her out to dry, and I completely understand that anger. At any rate, then she started doing interviews, and she, before that, she went on Twitter and she started contradicting herself, and she started posting tweets and deleting the tweets, and it was looking real, like, it was tweets that said the exact opposite of what she said the day before. Like, no, it wasn't rigged, and it wasn't. And I'm like, what is Donna doing? Like, this, if you're trying to sell your book, like, this ain't how you roll it out. Like, because now you got people being like, now, oh, she just looks crazy. She's just saying whatever it takes.
Right.
Then she did these interviews on people's shows. And one of the interviews she did was on, like, I think a Fox News show or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she took a picture with Sheriff David Clark. Now, you guys may know Sheriff David Clark as the black dude with the cowboy hat,
mm-hmm.
that's a big Trump defender, wearing all
the medals, fake medals aren't
real, hates black people. She took a picture with him, and he was like, you know, just happy, proud to be in the picture with her, which I'm like, man, like, I don't know if she just didn't know who he was, or, you know, to be honest, I don't even want to pretend that. I think it's beneath people to pretend that she didn't know who he was. Every black person in America pretty much knows that nigga's face on sight,
because he's everywhere,
right? And we all, because we've seen what he said, and she's way too experienced for me to really think that
she was out of the loop.
I just think she this is a, it's like, you got the Twitter buzzing, or these people will give me an interview, that anybody that want, like, Fox News wants to hear anti-Hillary shit anytime. Bernie's people, maybe they'll buy the book, you know. But it was just bad. So they took a picture together, and Matthew A. Cherry on Twitter had said, what's the name of this mixtape? Because it was a picture of both of them. So I played the name the mixtape game. You want to hear my group names?
Okay.
For Donna Brazile and David Clark, and if they was in a group together.
Okay.
All right, I named the groups. I didn't name the mixtape. I named the actual groups, okay? Number one, Coon and the Gang.
Oh.
Number two, the White Supremes. Number three, Colors Be Bad.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Number four, the Jim Crow Jays.
Oh, Lord, what's wrong with you?
Number five, Moke and Step, Ben Fetch It.
Oh.
Six, Mo TLC, sir. Number seven, Niggas with a Platitude.
Aww.
Eight, Psy and the Family Gone.
Oh, no.
Number nine, The Tomadors. Number 10, Spineless Behavior. Number 11, Ashford and Simpleton.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I thought of some more the next day, so I kept going. You want to hear some more? I came up with 22 of these. This is what I was doing while Karen's gone, y'all. This is why we need the show.
Oh, this is why we need the show.
So here's part two, more group names the next day. One, Parliament Sunkadelic. Number two, sold four deals.
Oh no.
Number three, Gladys White and a pimp. Number four, go to sleep.
Just go to sleep.
Five, jerk, grin, and fired. Oh. Number six, the GOP bland.
Yes, bland.
Number seven, sold to sold. S-O-L-D. Number eight, the Jackson 3/5.
Oh.
And it's like 3/5. Like 3/5. Oh. Number nine. It's so bad. Number nine, Uncle Tommy. So. and it is spelled the different ways that y'all would think it was spelled. Number 10, Ike and Tina turned on us.
Oh no.
And finally, number 11, mint conditioning.
Ha ha ha, what the hell wrong with you?
That hit. We send y'all swinging.
y'all see why we need to do the show.
All right. That's enough for today. We're going to come back tomorrow. We're going to do our Walking Dead recap, of course. We got to do Sword Ratchetness before we get out of here, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hopefully you guys enjoyed some of this stuff.
Yeah, I had your white woman recap.
Yeah, mine was a little, it was way more basic.
Ah!
Although, you know what, we got a few minutes. I'm going to run down some random thoughts. Let's get these out of the way, guys.
Let's do it.
Let's get these out of the way. These are also things I thought of last week that I didn't get to tell y'all. You know how they say mean people suck?
Mm-hmm.
They go, mean people suck, but nice people swallow. Oh. Right? You heard that when we was kids? Mean people suck. Well, nice people swallow. So then nice people are the real freaks. Sign me up. That's not an insult. Now that I'm an adult, I understand. I'm like, oh yes.
That mean?
So then nice people is where it's at. Sign me up for them nice people, please. Talenti jars are white women's Crown Royal bags. Think about it.
Ah, yes, they is. We put everything in them shits.
Is there even a Werther's besides the originals? And if so, aren't they just being redundant? Why aren't they just called Werther's and everything else called Werther's the variants, you know? Shout out to all the black people. When you get a job, all black people share this in common. If you see another black people, that person that you work with, we all gotta wait till we get in the elevator alone to see if that black person cool or not. Every black person can relate to that shit. Everyone.
Correct.
You just never know. Let's see. A fly. I was thinking about this. I was eating at this Japanese place
mm-hmm.
by myself. Obviously, Karen wasn't there. And I was by the window, and there was a fly, and he kept buzzing around the window. You know how they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized a fly's entire existence is based on being faster than it is annoying.
Ah,
like that equation is the key to fly life. The second you get slower than you are, you're more annoying than however fast you are, it's a wrap. Because I tried to kill the fly and then the fly ran away and I was like, ah, fuck it.
It wasn't worth it.
But if it was annoying, I would have found a way. It's not like it was impossible to kill. When I was watching Stranger Things, Netflix, they have apparently changed the algorithm. Mm-hmm. Like, well, it's time to go to a new episode. It's demanding. Like, it used to be like
it's demanding.
Like, some shows they really give you like 10 seconds, but with Stranger Things it's like the credits come on, it's like, you want to watch another episode in 10, 9? Bitch, you watching it, it's already on. Hurry up, you late. Like, skip the credits too, like just right into the episode. I realized that I've become my parents. Actually, it was earlier today. I was in the car listening to some music, listening to my white girl, my playlist. My song came on. I don't know if y'all know this song, that love so soft, you ain't had nothing softer. Kelly Clarkson, look it up. I went to turn it up and I was like, man, this is not knocking. And I realized I have paid my car off this year. Had my car probably 4 or 5 years at this point. I I have my factory stereo to the factory settings. I didn't even turn up the bass in the treble.
I probably didn't turn mine up either. I don't know how.
I have never had a car until I'm washed. I'm not just washed, but I'm 5 years of wash. It's never even occurred to me.
No, because most of the time I'm listening to people talking podcasts and shit, and you're not required bass.
I listen to music sometimes too. Not once did I think, let me turn the bass up on this crit so it can knock. I always just kept it at the factory settings. I'm washed as fuck. And I don't know how many other y'all out there right now just realize you washed as fuck. Cause your shit on zero and zero. Bass on zero, treble on zero.
Right, everything on zero. I don't know how to change that shit.
Like, what the fuck? I was really, but you know what? Also the longest I ever had working speakers in the stereo in my car. So guess the joke's on me. I've been blowing out.
Right, and I've always had to change it. Yeah, I had to get brand new speakers. And not only that, when you change your radio, you got to get brand new speakers because the, whatever radio you get is going to bust the rest of the other three speakers.
We are all washed together. I saw somebody parking. They double parked in a space. And I don't know if you can get this off of Amazon or eBay or whatever. But I really would like to invest in one of them parking boots that parking companies have. That they put on cars. But just put it on somebody's car. Like, fuck you. Like, I don't even want it back. Like, you ain't no number to call to get it off.
Nope.
Just fuck you.
It's just stuck there.
Right?
Sit your ass and quit parking across that line.
I'm also pretty sure I found out who the mad pooper is in our apartment complex. Because we've been having somebody's dogs have just been shitting right in front of our apartment door. It's like, and the thing is, it's not just they let the dog shit there where there's plenty of other places for dogs to shit.
Right.
But they let them shit right in front of our door and they don't even pick it up. And I've been wondering who it was. And Justin was coming in to the house to do Balls Deep and he noticed that it's this woman that has these two big ass dogs, y'all
they big.
These dogs are so big, and like she
has no
when
control.
We saw them, she was like, they're just puppies. I was like, what the fuck are they gonna be, dire wolves?
Come on. I thought Ari and them gonna be walking with them damn dogs,
right? Is that Ghost up in there and shit? At any rate, those dogs are so big, I bet you it is her. Because how she gonna pick up the shit?
She can't control.
Because every time I'm out there, the dogs are basically pulling her like a sled.
Ain't they though?
You know, so we got to the bottom of that.
She probably let them poop because it's so much energy to probably keep them on the chain that she ain't got energy to walk with them and get pooped too.
It's disgusting, man. Why would you do that? Why would you be okay? It's the nastiest thing you can do.
Just walk with them one at a time, then.
How do you afford rent here and you live like trailer park like that? You know what we need as adults? Peer mediators. We don't have them anymore.
Yeah, we do.
I was looking at, you know, like situations like that and looking at social media and how people be fighting and shit. We really could use peer mediation. Like,
that's
what happened to those
people? Undervalued. Like, it's literally undervalued. Nobody. And the thing is, those people, especially if they're good at it, they can help people communicate, you know, because a lot of times you just need somebody to kind of filter back and forth.
Like, are the police basically the peer mediators now? Is that what happened to that?
Peer mediator is you die.
The justice system. And lastly, chili is one of my favorite dishes because it gets even better after you let it sit in the fridge.
It does. The flavors meet up and decide to be friends, and it just gets flavorful.
Mm-hmm. And you always got to make a lot, too, so it's going to definitely sit in there for a couple of days, and then you go back and warm it up and you're like, ooh, this is even hitting more now. So, all right, last thing. Let's do, let's do Sword Ratchet. Ah. And yet I smile.
Yes, and yet I smile.
Been a while since we heard that.
I know.
An Omaha woman has been accused of chasing her boyfriend with a sword. She suspected that he was cheating on her.
Oh, shit.
Well, that'll do it. An Omaha woman was arrested on suspicion of making terroristic threats after police say she chased her boyfriend with a sword because she thought he was cheating on her. Police responded to an 11th and Dorcas Streets just before 11 p.m. Witnesses told officers that a woman was brandishing a sword and heading south after a man. Police located a 20-year-old woman and a 36-year-old man. The sword was found near 12th Street and collected by the forensics unit. trying to date them young women. You don't got that energy anymore. Police say the woman admitted to punching her boyfriend in the face and then chasing him with the sword. She told officers that she wouldn't have harmed him. Punching me in my face feels like I was already harmed, but that's just my definition.
All right.
The woman was booked in jail. She also was wanted on a warrant, accusing her of failing to appear in court on another matter. All right, guys, that's it. We'll be back tomorrow with some Walking Dead recap for you. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.